Jackie Ulm.
Yeah.
Welcome to Thyroid Strong Podcast.
Thank you.
Super excited to have you here.
So excited to do this.
So you are quite the athlete.
I was. Yeah.
Still. I mean.
I try.
So can you give us, the listeners, a little bit of a background of your athleticism?
Yeah. So started, I guess, really my athletic career started in high school. I was a decent athlete in high school, right? So my high school was really big. So they made us choose. We could only play one sport per season. I was really a softball player.
Oh, interesting.
And actually, they were teaching me to fast pitch because when I went to high school, it was our first year that our school got moved to like that conference or whatever that moved to fast pitch. So they were teaching me to do it, which I guess I'm built like fast pitch pitchers. I had no idea at the time, but track was the same season. So I had to make the decision, decided to go with track, ended up having amazing coaches. So I've been blessed that through my entire athletic career, I've had great, great coaches. I mean, top to bottom, so lucky. But I had these great coaches in high school, got exposed to throwing, ended up being pretty good at it. I finished fifth and fourth in the States my junior and senior year.
Oh, that's all.
I mean, but like for the state of Ohio, like it is good, but like I wasn't throwing distances that were going to get me like recruited by like UCLA or something.
Right.
Right. I mean, I was throwing well, but not like astounding. So I ended up getting recruited by Ashland University. Judd Logan was my throwing coach and went on to fall in love with the hammer throw there, which he ended up being a four-time Olympian in that event. I ended up 5 national championships, 13 All-Americans, and went on to make the Olympic team in 2004 in the hammer throw. So yeah, kind of followed in his footsteps.
And that was Greece.
Yes. Athens. I got to compete in Athens, which I always tell everybody, like, if you can't do it on your home soil, do it there. I mean, really. I mean, more than I could have imagined.
So much history.
So much. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing.
Yep.
And was it in 2008?
2004.
2004.
I'm old.
No,
yeah.
No, but 2008, you got diagnosed with Hashimoto's.
Oh, Hashimoto's was, okay, let me think. So it would have been 2008 because Rich, my husband, started Cairo School in 2007.
Yep.
And I met some naturopaths while we were there. And I was kind of, you know, going through the whole like, I can't lose weight. I feel like my brain's not working the way it should be, that kind of stuff. And they're like, wait, stop, time out. Come see one of us in the student clinic. So I've worked with 2 different naturopaths whom I love. I think naturopaths should be used everywhere. I mean, I will carry the flag and beat the drum for them any day of the week. I got tested and sure enough, straight out of the book, Hashimoto's. Like to the point the naturopath looked at me and was like, how did you make an Olympic team like this?
Wow.
Yeah. I guess I was just so, like, my numbers were so sky high. And yeah. I don't remember what they were at the time, but yeah.
Were you feeling symptoms back in 2004? Because that's like a 4-year difference, right?
Right.
From diagnosis to previous 4 years at the Olympics.
So I think what I always said was an athlete, the mind over matter thing.
Totally.
Right? So even days that I got out of bed and I felt like crap, I still went to practice and still made the most of it. So I probably was feeling symptoms and had them, but I probably was pushing them so far back in my brain that I wouldn't let my body feel them.
Yeah.
So.
And I think one of the things, and one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the podcast was you train and you train hard.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women, when they get their diagnosis, kind of recoil from any sort of exercise because it maybe makes them fatigue or, you know, makes their symptoms worse. Or they maybe kind of go into this victim mindset of like, okay, I'm only supposed to be doing things that are easy, which we're told sometimes from like, especially functional medicine docs, it's like, don't overtax the adrenals, take it easy, go for a walk. And so I wanted to bring you on because you're muscular, you train hard, and you have Hashimoto's.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think some of it for me is I fell in love with weightlifting through training for track. So I will never give that up.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope I am the 75-year-old woman still lifting weights, still doing bicep curls at the gym. You know, like I want to be that person.
Yeah.
And I got the same message, you know, from functional doctors too, like more yoga, more this, more gentle.
Yeah.
And I would say I've shifted a little bit. So in the last couple of years, I've really gotten into road cycling.
Oh, interesting.
I love it. Rich had been doing it for years and I just could never, like, I don't know what it was. It's like I wouldn't let myself get into it. And so finally in the last 2 years, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go out on my own. Go at my own pace, whatever. And I really enjoy it.
What do you love about it?
I think it just gives me a different way to be outside, fresh air, sunshine, just being in nature. I think for me, it feels really good. And because I'm not a distance endurance athlete at all, it's really easy for me to get into zone 2 and sit there for
Yeah.
45 minutes to 90 minutes or whatever. And I think I'm fortunate in the world that I live in because of my husband. I've been exposed to so many different doctors, thinkers, ideas about training. So I don't know if you know Bo Beard.
Mm-hmm. In Alabama.
Yeah, he's in Alabama.
Totally.
Yep. So he came and did a lecture in Columbus. Gosh, I don't even know when this was, but he was just talking about the importance of zone two training.
Yeah.
And, you know, what the current recommendations are. And I think he was saying at the time, like, you want to do 45 minutes twice a week. And then one time a week, you wanted to get into like the 90 minutes plus. Mm. And I was like, huh, okay. So longevity, right? Like, I'm all about, I want to live and die. I don't want the slow decline. So I'm like, okay, I probably should focus on some zone two stuff. I like being on my bike. That's where I could do it. So that's literally where it came from, is just talking with him, hearing his lecture, a million different conversations with Rich.
Yeah.
And so now I'm 3 or 4 days a week out on my bike. Yeah, in the summer when I can in Ohio.
Hot, humid Ohio summers. Yeah. I'm sure you get up like maybe before the sun.
Sometimes, but usually I try to ride like when it's just low traffic time.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Fewer cars, better.
Yeah. And for people who don't know what zone two training is, it's like slight elevation of your heart rate, but you could slightly out of breath, but you could still have a conversation.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So I try to, and I'm, for better or for worse, training for the Olympics. And at that level, I think you want to know as much information. And I'm a numbers data person at heart. So I want all the data. So I have a heart rate monitor that I wear all the time. So I know exactly where my heart rate is and what zone I'm in and all that stuff. So
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how are you currently managing your Hashimoto symptoms or your Hashimoto's diagnosis?
Yeah. So I started out diet only back in 2008, which was awesome, right? So they told me like no gluten. And I was like, ooh, okay. Because I was like a big baker and I love to cook and, you know, all of that. So I was like, okay, well, I went like cold turkey, no gluten overnight, like flipped a switch.
How'd you feel?
So this is hilarious. This is how I always tell people, because they're like, does gluten really matter? And I'm like, here's my experience. So when I went in for my initial consultation with the naturopath, they asked me, do you have any gut issues? Like, do you feel bloated? And I'm like, no, I feel fine. Like, I've never had a problem. Send me home, no gluten for 2 weeks. That's it. And in 2 weeks, I literally came in and was like, I don't know how I didn't think I had a gut problem.
Right. Sometimes like our current normal just becomes a new norm. I had the same experience. My doctor was like, do you feel bloated? I was like, no. Like, I would know. He like palpated my abdomen. He's like, no, you're definitely bloated.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like I felt, I don't know. It just felt like my stomach was like empty and actually like could work. Mm. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah. But yeah, like after just 2 weeks, I was like, how did I miss this? I think I'm so in tune with my body.
Yeah.
And clearly I wasn't for that part.
I mean, it's pretty amazing because the typical recommendation is like 6 weeks. So to even feel better after 2 weeks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quick. And then, so I did diet only for a while, got to a point where they had to medicate me. Mm-hmm. So I am unfortunately medicating. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of prescription medication, but when needed, you know, definitely do it.
Yeah.
So I do take T3 and T4. So I'm both. But then, of course, always trying to find the next thing, right?
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, I've done standard process.
It's like a supplement line.
Yeah. Friends of ours turned me on to one of their cleanses.
Mm.
And it's no gluten, no dairy, no meat for the first 10 days. So you're literally a vegan for the first 10 days. You do these shakes and supplements, whatever. And it's a 21-day thing. I have found out that I can't have dairy either.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those that like one of my naturopaths was telling me all along, you got to give up dairy. You got to give up dairy. And
like,
I'm just like,
do
I love cheese. Like cheese is the best thing. Have you ever been to Europe? Like, but it was amazing to me when I did like the first 10 days of the cleanse, how good I felt.
Mm.
Like, above and beyond anything I'd ever experienced before.
Wow.
And so I was just kind of like, I can't live without meat. Like that's a no go for me, but giving up gluten and dairy probably makes sense.
Did you notice any change in muscle mass with giving up meat for 10 days?
No. Okay. I was still training. I mean, I'll always lift. So I was still training, but I definitely, I mean, I'll tell you, like in 21 days, like I leaned out way more than I thought I was going to.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I highly recommend trying that cleanse. I just feel like $1 million on it.
Yeah. Is there anything else you do other than, okay, so you take combination of T3, T4, which T3 is the active form, which will give you that energy, makes you feel good, especially people who are only on T4. Sometimes they're like, I'm taking medication and why don't I feel better?
Right.
Yeah. And then, so you're gluten and dairy free.
Yep.
Anything else?
I do supplementation, all kinds of stuff though. I can't even remember all of the things. Selenium's like a big one.
Yep.
So I take that every day. I have a couple weird ones. So we have a great MD in our area who practices more functional medicine.
Amazing.
So anytime I have like something weird happen, like I found out I have the factor V mutation. So just luckily, due to some family issues, I found out that I'm actually positive for it as well. So I went to him and I'm like, what do I do? And he said, he's like, I can't put you on a blood thinner. He's like, you're too active. He's like, you'll bleed out. So he gave me a supplement that's like not expensive. And he's like, take two of these a day. You'll be fine.
I'm
like,
do you know what the supplement is?
Natokinase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it comes from like the soy that Asian cultures eat. Mm-hmm. And they think it's one of the reasons that the Asian cultures typically live longer is because they have good heart health, blood health, yada, yada.
Yeah. Amazing.
So yeah, but I do the fish oils. I do a ton of vitamin B,
yeah,
lots of magnesium. I do the whole cocktail at night to sleep for good sleep, all that. So, but yeah, that's where I'm kind of at right now.
Do you have any like current Hashimoto symptoms that would affect your like day to day?
I don't think so. Like if I don't, like there have been times when I've been traveling recently where like I don't have T3 or whatever, that I do notice an energy drop pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot right now. I feel like the train's running on the tracks really well.
You're on the right path.
Yes. Yeah.
Totally. What does your fitness routine look like?
So weightlifting obviously is a 3-day a week thing right now. It's going to be changing here soon just because I'm looking to make changes. But typically Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, we do push, pull, and shoulders. So literally only upper body because it's fun and I love it. And we're at the point in our life where we do what we call playground rules. So we go to the gym and whatever equipment's available, that's what we do that day.
I love it.
So
how
we
fun.
So if we were going to go in and we were going to bench and all the benches are full, cool. We'll go do strict press because there's a rack open.
Yeah.
It keeps it fun and, you know, interesting and it's always changing and it's not too serious because I'd spent so many years of my life doing that.
Yeah.
Right now, because it's summer, I'm outdoor cycling 3 to 4 days a week, which I love. And then I sprinkle in CrossFit a couple days a week. So 2 or 3, go to a great gym not far from our house. But my neighbor recently joined the gym and she hadn't worked out in years. And so I've been going to the early morning class to like support her and be like her group. And it's been awesome, right? Because seeing somebody else get into it, she was an athlete too. Let's not pretend, she actually was on the women's national team for softball and has a silver medal from the 84 Olympics.
Right.
So I'm just like,
Molly. You guys don't have anything in common.
Right. I'm like, Molly, you are definitely an athlete. You've done this before. Like, you can do this. And so it's been fun just to see her kind of get into it and really enjoy working out again.
So you're doing zone 2 training 3 to 4 days a week.
Yep.
And then you're doing resistance training, strength training.
Yep.
5 days a week.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously there has to be an overlap of zone 2 training days with strength.
Sure.
Like, how does your body feel? Because I think most women who maybe are newer to their diagnosis would be like, oh my God, I'm destroyed.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
like wouldn't start
yeah.
there for sure.
No, definitely not. I mean, and I didn't start. Like when I first started riding my bike, I was going out once a week and like every other week I'd throw on a second ride. Because just getting used to sitting in the freaking saddle like hurts, right? Yeah. So yeah, so it's been a progression for sure. And like CrossFit, people get started and they just like want to hurry up and be there 5 days a week. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Pump the brakes.
Because of the community aspect or just competition?
I think it's the community aspect because like it's just fun, right? Like the people are just fun. It's just nice to know good people. I'm always like 2 days a week, like start there. Like you don't need to be killing anything, right? Yeah. So it was definitely a slow progress. The days that I overlap are typically I'll ride my bike in the morning and then I just strength train at night or in the evening, afternoon, evening.
I mean, I think one of the things to mention is that you have like mature muscle development.
Yes.
You're not starting from like zero.
No, I'm 25 years in.
Exactly.
So I started lifting weights seriously in 1998. So I'm well into this on this path. I mean, the last time I was DEXA scanned, another Jackie who ran the machine, who's awesome. She is one of my favorite humans on the planet. She told me I carry more muscle mass in my legs than most men my age.
Amazing.
So, which excites me, right? Because I'm like, all right, I'm going to live a long time. I've got this. I'm keeping it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not starting from scratch. I have a lot of friends who are starting from scratch that are starting to get into weightlifting, which I love. It just like fills my heart. Obviously, their plan and their path is completely different, and that's fine.
Yeah. Are there any certain things you do for recovery in terms of like muscle ache, joint pain? Managing your energy. You don't just train for a living. You also have a job.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
A high demanding job.
Yes. I, in the last probably 2 or 3 years, have really, really put an emphasis on sleep more than I ever thought I ever would, like a lot. And I've always been a pretty good sleeper. Like my whole life, 8 hours, I mean, religiously, like I was always an 8 hour sleeper.
Yeah.
But in the last 2 to 3 years, figuring out the right supplementation, making our room cold. We just got one of those new beds that like cools the temperature down the bed. We go to bed at like 8:30 to make sure we have enough of a window to fall asleep, to make sure I'm getting at least 8 hours. And then the weekends, if I can sleep 10 hours a night, I take it. Like I absolutely will take it. And the thing is, I feel better. Like I can tell when I'm not sleeping right and I'm not getting enough good nutrition in my body. Like I can just feel it. It feels like almost in my bones. Mm. It's kind of weird. But it's definitely a nice thing to have because I know immediately what I have to fix.
Yeah. And when you have that feeling in your bones, what does it feel like? Is it more of like a like full body aches or just like really, really tired? Like
I literally get it in my legs. I typically like in my shins and they just start to ache.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And that's when I'm like, you're probably not sleeping enough. You're probably not eating enough or enough of the right stuff at the right times.
Yeah. Any specific supplements to help you sleep?
I do magnesium.
Yep.
Inositol.
Yeah. Great.
L-theanine.
Crosses the blood-brain barrier. Amazing.
Apa something. It's the Huberman's trio that he gave.
Awesome.
And epigenine, something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, those are the four that I take. I try to take them like an hour before bed.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're a good sleeper.
Well, okay. I went through a period that it was pretty bad. Like, so this is where like it
like came. Insomnia?
Oh, yeah. Like I was up. I'd go to bed, I'd be tired, and I'd still be up at 1 a.m. and I'm like, what is going on? I'd go out in the living room because they're always like, don't stay in your bed, you know? So I'd go out in the living room, I'd lay on the couch, I'd lay there and might fall asleep for an hour or two before my alarm went off.
So what did you do for that?
So that's when I started researching like what supplements can I try, all of the different things. So I've tried, finally found these supplements that really worked for me. I tried different CBD options, all different kinds of stuff. But this one, knock on wood, has seemed to work really well so far.
Yeah. I love that you stay curious. Like you couldn't sleep, you researched it, you tried different things, you didn't get discouraged, mm-hmm. you weren't like, poor me, you're just kind of kept chugging along.
Absolutely.
But I think sometimes with an autoimmune condition, we sometimes get in our head like we are our autoimmune condition versus like we're us and we just happen to have an autoimmune condition.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I've met a lot of people who unfortunately have that view because to me, I'm like, I'm going to continue to do the things I want to do. I just have to figure out the right way to do them because of the autoimmune, right? Instead of this is who I am now.
Yeah. Do you have some current fitness goals? I mean, obviously more cycling.
So current fitness goals, I mean, long term, it's just flatten the curve, right?
Yeah.
So I recently lost a grandmother at 96. So very close to her my whole life. And she was a mail carrier, right? So she's used to walking like miles, right? So she up until I would say around 85 was still like walking laps in her driveway, walking to the, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, yes, but I want to make sure I don't even have those last 10 years that was a slow decline. I want to, you know, the, what is it? They call it like your lifespan and your health span are like the same, right? So long-term, that's the goal is I want to be able to do all Rich and I joke about like, we want to be the old couple that are like 85 still traveling the world. Like we want to be the people that we met in Sweden who are arguing over what the best meal they ever ate was. I'm like, I want to be that couple. So that's like the long-term, but short-term, like right now, I guess for me, more cycling is definitely on my plan just because it's fun. And I want to start doing more lower body lifting. Like I do some at CrossFit,
but
I used to love it, which is hilarious. So in college, lower body lifting was like the day. Like I loved it. I brought my A game every day. I just lived for it. Upper body, not so much. And now I've kind of flipped, which is, I don't really even know where that came from. I think it's because like I developed upper body muscles later or I could see them later. And so now I'm like, ooh, I want to keep them, right?
Yeah.
And lower body to me just hurts lately.
Interesting.
So this is something I've been talking to my husband about is just kind of like, why, what, how do we fix this? So we're going to start working on that. So I think some of it is I had a back injury in college early on in my career. So I think it's, as I get older, it's just presenting itself more. So we have to kind of work on that a little bit. And then I'm just going to start easing myself back into lower. And I'm going to be using weights that are lighter than I've used in a long, long time. And that's okay. I have no shame going and having to use 5-pound dumbbells.
No, I don't believe it. So the pain you're not talking for lower body is necessarily like an autoimmune pain. Like an old injury.
Yeah, it's like an old injury and just your joints don't move the same and all of that. But I think there's definitely like correctional stuff we can do to kind of get me back.
Yeah. And you have the perfect person in your life to get you there.
Yes. Yeah. I'm fortunate.
What do you love or what do you like about lifting? Because I think a lot of women are either intimidated. We never learned, like there was never like a class in high school, or they're worried about quote unquote bulking up. But obviously it creates a certain mindset, a certain release of hormones. What do you like about it?
Yeah. So I think, well, what I love about it, I love, one, I get to do it with my husband, right? So it's extra time we actually get to be together, which with his schedule is hard for us to make that happen. I love feeling strong. And I think that's underestimated by women, the fact that when I'm at the grocery store, I can help people pick things up. I can do those things. I can move. A couple weekends ago, we literally emptied a condo for somebody. And it was just Rich and I. I'm able to help him pick up furniture. And so it's just things like that, that I think people underestimate, like just feeling strong boosts confidence, makes you want to keep doing it. I have a couple people just in my head that like watching them on their journey, I'm just like, yes, you're starting to get it. But I also, some of it's just kind of fun to see like, what can my body do and how can my body look, right? It's fun to look in the mirror and see muscles. I enjoy that. I'm like, oh, look at this. Like, yeah. I actually can see my triceps, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of it is just pure vanity, but that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a really beautiful thing because I'm similar with my husband's from Alabama. He's from the South. So he's always likes to be a gentleman. I'm like, I can do it. Like, I can carry my own suitcase. Don't worry about it. I'm like dragging it down the stairs. And there's a certain like pride in that.
Yes.
Like not having to ask for help, even though I ask for help in other capacities. So you're helping your neighbor on her journey of getting back to lifting.
Yep.
And do you have other places in your life where you're like elevating the women to lift weights?
Yes. So I have a really good friend of mine who is a cancer survivor, also has some autoimmune issues as well. But she just recently turned 50 and she was like, I've decided I have to start weightlifting. And I was 50. Like, yes.
Okay, interesting.
Which I'm like so proud of her because she's like just completely jumping outside of her comfort zone and just making this work, right? So she hired a personal trainer and she started lifting and she gives me such joy just sharing like her experience. So it just is like such a gift like for her to just tell me about her workouts and just to see her confidence and her belief in herself and what she can do. It's just been so fun to watch that and see that come out of her. There's another patient of Rich's who's, you know, an older woman to start lifting. And I make a point to go to the clinic when I know she's going to be there just so I can say like, how's it going?
So sweet.
You know, because she just literally the last time I was there, she's like, I have to tell you, I curled the 20-pound barbell. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like how great for you. And where a 20-pound barbell to me might be nothing, but to her, like that was a goal that she set months ago. And here she is doing it. And the excitement on her face and how happy she was. I'm just like, you're setting goals, you're achieving them, you're building your confidence. How much stronger are you just to do everyday life, right?
Yeah.
So it just, I don't know, it just gives me such joy. It really does to talk to women and see them getting stronger and better and all of that.
I think the most challenging piece is creating consistency, right? Making it feel like if you don't do it, your body craves it.
Yep.
So how do you get to that point? For me, I'm like, just keep going. Do 10 minutes if you feel better. Like if you're struggling with fatigue, if you feel better, keep going. And, you know, 99.9% of the time you will keep going.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts? Because you have a long, like 25 years is a long history, a relationship with doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for women who kind of maybe they start and then they fall off and then they're like, oh, they maybe guilt themselves into like what creates it as a consistent habit?
Yeah. To me, it's kind of along the same lines, like just show up, like just go to the gym. And I think a lot of it is just building the habit, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it is literally written on my calendar, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, I'm going to the gym.
Right.
Like I don't schedule anything around over it. Like that is my dedicated time to do that. So I think, and along those lines, there have been times when I've gone to the gym and I don't feel great. So I might do just 3 or 4 exercises and be like, you know what? This is all I got for the day. I'm out. And that's fine because something's better than nothing.
Yeah.
I still went to the gym. I'm still developing the consistent pattern, the habit. So yeah, I think I'm just kind of more of the consistency, like make it a part of your everyday routine and it'll keep happening.
Yeah. Do you do some mornings, some evenings? Is it kind of a mix?
No, lift. Well,
for lifting?
Tuesday and Thursday, lifting's always in the afternoon, evening because of his schedule.
Right.
Sunday is shoulder Sunday, my favorite. Kind of happens whenever. So it just depends on like what our weekend schedule is. Yeah. Sometimes we're like, we've got to get up and get it in because we've got all these things we want to do. Or it's like, I'd rather have a slow morning. Let's just walk the dogs, hang out, and then we'll go lift later.
Yeah.
So that one's kind of up and down. But yeah. Yeah.
Are there other things related to your Hashimoto's diagnosis that, I don't know, affect your day-to-day or affect your lifting? You have a very demanding job. So like staying mentally clear is very important.
And I think that's kind of where I feel it the most is the mental aspect of it. So there was a period, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago where I just didn't feel as on at work. Mm-hmm. Like I was doing my job, but I was just like, I just don't feel like I'm 100% here. My next round of blood work just showed that like my levels were extremely, extremely low. They had to increase my medication levels, which was totally fine. It wasn't a ton, but, and it's like 2 weeks after we increased mental clarity, all the mental sharpness came like right back for me.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I try to pay really close attention to my body in all aspects. So it's kind of figuring out what signs are popping up. And I'm fortunate I have a great doctor that I can get in touch with. I'm really, really fortunate.
So sometimes women will notice a flare up around a stressor. And a stress can come in the form of emotional, psychological stress, overtraining, and environmental stress. But you mentioned earlier, like you've had some stressful moments recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you noticed any difference in like symptoms or did it affect you?
That's a great question. I don't think I have. Yeah, we've had a stressful year so far. So I don't think I've really, nothing that I've noticed, I guess I'll say, other than just, and maybe it was more from the Hashimoto's than the stress. I just blame it on the stress because that's like happening at the time.
Yeah.
Is I was definitely more fatigued. And when I saw my doctor, she's just like, how are you doing? Like, tell me how you're doing. Do you need more? Do you need less? Like, I am just here to support your system right now to get you through this. Again, this is when I lean on sleep and making sure like, yep, give it yourself. You know, like last night, prime example, I was invited to go out to a sporting event in Columbus. And I was like, I have to get up at 4:30 for a flight. I need to go home. Like, I wish I could say yes, but I have to say no.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it's just some of that. But I haven't had a ton of that lately. Knock on wood.
The other thing about stress is, and I noticed like women who lift show up differently than women who don't in terms of stress. So I think culturally, a lot of the messaging is de-stress, don't stress, avoid stress, meditate. And I was like, well, stress is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about how we react to it and how we show up to it. And like, how could we use stress to our advantage? Because stress is really a motivator. What we don't want is that like chronic low-grade stress. But I think there's like this weird messaging of A, women like don't overdo it with an autoimmune condition and like de-stress constantly. And I think it's not a good message. A, because it's like inevitable, but I find the women who show up the best to stress are the ones who lift weights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's just how I get rid of like that outside unnecessary stress, right? Because going into a gym and aggressively lifting for 45 minutes is going to let you work some things out for sure, right?
Yeah.
And I guess, and this probably sounds weird, I'm all about like the train hard, the train heavy. Do I need to do it every day? No. But 3 days a week, can I lift to really hard the last 2 to 3 reps or really challenging? Yes. And I like putting that physical stress on my body. It helps me deal with the other stress. Like if I don't lift, I will not be as good of a person in the workplace. I just won't. You probably don't want to work with me if that is the case. It's one of those that I think you're right with the messaging. Yoga is great. Yeah, de-stressing is good for life, but I don't think we should eliminate it completely. I would never tell anybody to not lift weights, like never.
Yeah. Like I almost think not only for the autoimmune population, but just for like, if you are a human being on the planet moving through the world and you can lift a weight physically, like you should be doing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
It's like a non-negotiable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I love it, right? So we lifted a local gym and recently I've seen so many more young women, like high school, just out of high school there. And I'm just like, this is Awesome. So I'm the person that will go over and be like, hey, let me help you out. Change your grip here, or this is how you should attach that. Just because I want them to feel like the gym is a welcoming place and a welcoming space, because I'm like, you need to keep doing this. Find a way to fall in love with lifting and do it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And there's actually a girl we know who comes to the gym with her boyfriend, and she does like her own lifting. But like every time we're there, she comes over to tell us like what she's working on that day,
Sweet.
what she did new. And I'm just like, this is awesome. Like just that little thing is keeping her workout going better. So it's just, I don't know. It's
Yeah.
fun to see like the young kids starting.
Yeah.
Young kids, listen to me.
Because like when I was in high school, very intimidated by the weight. It was just a bunch of bros. And then in college, I basically lived on the Stairmaster or the elliptical. There was
Yep.
no like
No.
teaching of it.
Mm-mm.
So it's nice to hear
Yeah, it's
kids get
been
into it.
really fun. I mean,
Yeah.
there's of course there's like the bros, right? Which is
Yeah.
hilarious and we love it. But to see the girls, it's really like a new thing that I've not experienced before, and it really makes me happy to see.
Yeah. After you work out, do you hydrate or like load up on pro? Like, what do you do post
Yeah.
workout?
So post-workout, typically I hot tub.
Ooh,
Hot tub
interesting.
and or sauna.
Okay.
It just makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And then we usually lift like right before dinner. So then it's just like the
Right into
full
dinner.
balanced meal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love to cook. So 99% of the time we're eating at home. So
So Rich told me you love to cook 2 nights ago, which I did
yes.
not know.
Oh, yes. I love
And
it.
how do you, so for people who are like super foodies, who the thought of like, starting to remove certain things can be challenging. Did you have any struggles with that? Was there a process?
Yeah, so gluten wasn't as much, I think, because at that point, the way that I felt in trying to find the diagnosis of something, right? I was just like, I'll try anything.
Yeah.
So when they were like, you have to give gluten, I'm like, in, done. And we made it work. The dairy one is really challenging. I mean, still to this day, like when we go to Europe, we're supposed to go later this year. I'm just like, I will probably eat cheese over there because I freaking love it. It's definitely a mindset, right? So I think for people who are trying to do that, it's, gosh, and it's really hard, right? Because it takes time. So it's like, not only do you have to give things up that you love, but you have to do it for a long time before you're going to notice it. But it's just like, it's only 6 weeks in the grand scheme of things, right? So if it's 6 weeks to get rid of gluten, like it's only 6 weeks in the big picture. And the potential way that you'll feel at the end of 6 weeks, I promise you, is worth it. Like, especially gluten. Like, they make everything
Oh,
without
yeah.
gluten. So it's so easy.
But have you modified in your cooking in terms of like dairy?
Dairy, yes. So there's definite things that I've tried that I've liked. So we're like oat milk, that kind of stuff. Rich is a big coffee person, so like oat milk lattes and all of that. Yeah, it's funny. I got him a like an espresso barista
Oh,
machine for his
nice.
birthday,
That's a
and
good
he's
present.
literally like a kid at Christmas every time he makes a latte or whatever.
Yeah.
It cracks me up. I'm not a hot coffee drinker, so I don't even use it, but it makes me happy to watch him use it. So there's those kinds of things, but also like I like to bake. So that one was challenging as well. Now there's so many like good pre-made flour mixes on the market.
Totally.
Oh my gosh. I mean, just
Like King Arthur
King
and
Arthur's is
amazing.
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. So those are the kind of things that I do for that. And just as we get older, I hate saying that, but as we get older, we just kind of turn more to like just the meats and fruits and vegetables, right? So
Yeah.
I like to cook, so I just do lots of different. I smoked pork shoulder last week
Oh,
and
nice.
chicken this week, and
Rich is so lucky.
he is. Yeah. I tell him that every time I make a meal that is just like amazing. I'm like, you married right.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
You gave us a glimpse of into your training, but
Yeah.
like what if you're going to break down an upper body workout, what kind of stuff are you doing?
Yeah. So we are typically, I would say, 5 to 7 or 8 exercises per workout. And we usually do 3 to 5 sets in usually the 8 to 15 rep range. So, like the other day, since he was traveling, we just did a combination push pull. So we started out with like chin ups and push ups. I cannot do sets of 8 chin ups. So I'm doing 2 every minute on the minute for 10 minutes or whatever.
Yep.
Push ups, obviously, I'm not going to do sets of 15 like men probably can. So I'm doing sets of 7 or 8, and that's fine right now. I'm trying to get to 10. It's my goal to get to sets of 10 in working reps.
But you're very tall.
I am tall. I'm 5'10. Yeah.
Yes.
So which I've never hated one day in my life. I love it. I love it. And then we moved on to, what do you want to work today, right? So I always like to do shrugs because I love to work my upper back and my traps. So we did like a shrug pulling kind of thing, probably with front raises or lat raises because I love those. We did a rowing and bicep curls because I love bicep curls too. Yeah. So that day we did like 6 exercises, 5 sets each. So that puts us at 30 sets of whatever. It takes us about 45 minutes.
What's your rest breaks like?
Typically small. So we typically try to superset everything.
Yeah.
So basically our rest is the other person doing the other movement. So it's pretty consistent. Unless we're doing like pull-ups or something where we're every minute on the minute, yeah, then it's pretty consistent at a minute rest. But yeah, we try to keep it pretty short. We're not maxing out a deadlift, right? So
right.
I'm not doing like 300 pounds on the bar for 5 sets of 6 or something. If that was the case, I probably would take 90 seconds to 2 minutes,
yeah,
but I'm not doing that right now.
And then what kind of weight are you picking up?
So I try to do heavy weights. So this is where I think a lot of women miss, right? So we're taught, do the 5-pound weights and do like a million reps. And yeah, it's like, no, stop. Please stop.
Please.
And because we're trying to build muscle, right? So I want to see more of my muscles. I'm doing that hypertrophy range of training. So muscle growth, we just want the muscles to get bigger. If we wanted them to just get stronger, it would be a little different, right? So we are doing heavy weight, as heavy as possible, I would say. Now, I will say over my 5 sets, I do try to build up, even 25 years deep. Sometimes I guess wrong at my starting weight. Sometimes it's way too heavy. Other times I'm like, why did I even bother doing that? And Rich always laughs. He's like, how do you not know? And I'm like, I don't know. So yeah, I build up over the sets and I try to make the last 2 to 3 reps really challenging. That's the goal. Every set though. My coach had a rule kind of in college, if he gave us a rep range, so say we're doing 8 to 10. If you picked up a weight and you were able to do it for 8 to 10, the next one, you automatically move up to the next weight. So it's kind of an easy rule to follow. So if we're doing sets of 10 and I get to the 10th rep, then I'm like, I could have done more, then I just move the weight up.
Yeah.
But yeah, try to lift heavy. I mean,
do you feel the burn?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's the best part. Like shoulder Sunday, when my shoulders start to feel burned and swollen, that's when I know like, yes, this is what I wanted to accomplish today. I know like at this point, if I had to stop, I'm good because I got my pump in.
Yeah. When do you feel the burn? Like by a certain rep or by certain set and rep?
Usually, depending on the exercise, I would say probably in the 3rd-ish set.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the day and the exercises.
Yeah.
But yeah, usually I would say by the 3rd set, unless there's some days where it just comes on like hard and fast and you're like, holy cow. Like literally, there have been times where after 4 exercises, I'm like, my chest is killing me. I cannot do another pushing movement right now.
Yeah.
We have to do triceps only if I'm going to lift anymore. And we make it work, right? It's just one of those things.
But
yeah, it depends on the day.
Some women fear the soreness. And I'm like, well, actually, that means you worked something. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference between soreness, delayed onset muscle soreness, and then that soreness that comes with like overdoing it with an autoimmune condition. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. So Rich and I literally talk about like, what's your favorite muscle soreness after lifting, right?
I love this.
So literally like my favorite sorenesses to get is in my traps. Like when I shrug my shoulders, if it is sore, I'm like, yes, I did what I wanted to do yesterday. Second is my lats. Like I love my lats to feel sore, which is hilarious. But I think that little bit of soreness is really good because then you're like, what I did yesterday worked what I wanted. If you went in with the goal of working your chest and the next day it's not a little bit sore, did you actually accomplish what you went in for, right?
Yeah.
Not to say you shouldn't go to the gym, please go. But I think that's very different from the too much because the point where it hurts to walk, it hurts to brush your hair, that's where I would be like, okay, let's back off a little bit. Like, yeah, I want you to lift heavy. I want you to lift hard, but maybe instead of 6 exercises, we only do 3 to start. So you're not that sore because I don't want it to be discouraging.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of people end up is they go in too fast, too hard, too much.
Totally.
And they get to that like point of like crippling soreness. And
yeah,
it's just like, you're not going to be motivated to go back.
Yeah.
So let's just ease into this. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
what would you call, because I get this question, like, what's like normal amount of soreness?
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, well, if you're totally deconditioned, walking 3,000 steps a day, have never touched a weight, you could be sore for up to 4 days.
Yeah.
5 days. Like, that is, and that doesn't mean, like, maybe you lift on Monday, maybe it's Wednesday or Thursday. Like, don't avoid the gym because you're sore. Like, you might actually work out some of the soreness by going,
yeah,
getting the blood flowing.
Yes, absolutely.
So what's normal?
So normal for me is like, I'm still a little bit sore today from my workout Friday.
Okay. But and today is Sunday.
Yeah. So 2 days. Tomorrow I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it was a lot of lunging, which it's so funny because I was talking to Seth before he left and I was like, I don't care how many times I do lunges, how many sets, how much weight, every time I do them, I get sore. Every time. And it's just, I don't know. It's just my body. I don't know if it's just the movement. I mean, I love the soreness of them because it's exactly where I want it. But yeah, so that's one. So I think that 2 days is about normal. And I think like if you're just starting out, like you shouldn't be doing the same exercise. Like you shouldn't be working the same muscle groups that close together, right? Mm. So for me, if I'm starting out, I might on Monday do upper body and Thursday do lower body. Then you have ample time to recover and get back before you're going to have to hit upper or lower body again. Yeah.
And now that you're starting to integrate lower body,
yeah,
working around an injury,
yeah,
what are some of the moves that you are thinking about or going to incorporate?
Yeah. So I had a pretty severe low back injury in college. So now it's more of what my husband always talks about, right? So there's going to be probably no real squatting for a while. Mm-hmm. I'll be doing lots of lunging, which I need because being completely honest, like I've lifted for 25 years and I still have like no butt. Like my glutes will always be a pain point for me.
Is this
always
a genetic?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I probably a little bit, but like I squatted a ton in college, like a ton, and never developed a butt ever. So this is my thing is I'm like, I want to start glute training, which I know like tons of women do. And there's no reason to be ashamed of it.
Yeah.
But so I'll be lunging a ton, which will be good, right? For all of those reasons too, because with a back injury, lunging typically doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
So that'll be easy. But yeah, some of the movements I love, you know, I love RDLs. Those are great. I love step ups. I'll lunge like crazy. So yeah, so it'll be good. So I love working hamstrings too. So like old fashioned hamstring curls, like I love those. Like what's wrong with those? Nothing. So it'll be some of that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I'll definitely be going back into it slow. I mean, we still do it at CrossFit when I'm there, but it's not as regularly routinely because it's not supposed to be.
Right.
So yeah, so there'll be some of that I'll have to ease back into, and that's fine, and that's why I'm only doing it one day a week. Amazing. To start with. So
would you have women start with CrossFit if they're like not training, like if they're like, I want to weight train and put in some muscle?
Yeah.
Would you start there?
So I think it depends on the gym.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so I think it depends who the coaches are, what their philosophy is, what they're teaching, because Columbus, Ohio, where we live, it was like the central location of CrossFit for umpteen years. I mean, Rogue's headquartered there, right? I can't even tell you how many gyms in the Columbus area. And I've seen a lot of people go through all of them. And I think there's good coaching and bad coaching, and that's fine. And I think as a beginner, you just have to be really careful. Like a guy I work with who doesn't live in Ohio went to a CrossFit gym for the first time. And this was just a bad coaching decision. The coach was like, oh, well, typically we have people do like our onboarding classes first, but you're here today, just jump into our class. We ended up in the hospital for 4 days with rhabdo.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So like, but that's a bad coach. Like the coach should have never done that to him.
Right.
But I think for women, there's definite benefits to it because it teaches you to push and push hard.
Yeah.
Which I don't think a lot of women have that like natural aggression to do. Mm. So I think if you can find a gym with a good sound coach, I think it's okay to start there. But like at a standard gym, like if you just go start lifting,
yeah,
how are you sure you're getting a good personal trainer?
Trial and error.
Exactly. Right. So I think it's along the same lines. I don't think CrossFit's the only way. Like I've only been doing it the last few years and I've put plenty of muscle mass on. So plain strength training for women works and it's fun. So I think it's just finding people you trust that have been working in the area for a long time, getting good recommendations. And like you said, if you find a good trainer, great. If you try them and you don't like them, move on.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so I have two more questions.
Yep.
For those of us myself included, who will probably never participate in the Olympics.
Oh, gosh.
What is, like, the experience? Like, there's obviously something magical about it, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. What, like, how would you describe it?
Yeah, so it's funny because I'm going to get goosebumps.
I got goosebumps asking the question, yeah, so I know it's going to be good.
No, it's funny. So this happens all the time. So the Olympics, right? It's hard. So when you're there as an athlete, you're just like, I'm just here to compete, right?
Right.
But at the same time, you're standing there getting ready to walk into the opening ceremonies. And I just remember like walking in and we were coming in the stadium like from underneath. And there was this father and son who were like looking over the edge, waving the American flag at us. And it just like strikes you that like, oh my gosh, like the whole country is literally watching us walk in and represent them. And so it gets overwhelming if you aren't careful. As an athlete, you're just there to compete, but then you kind of become the real human person in that moment. And it's like nothing else I've ever experienced. I'd do it again in a heartbeat if I could. It was so much fun. And I was there with such great people. And to be in Greece for 3 weeks, just, yeah. I mean, just something I'll never be able to top athletically again. But yeah, a pretty fun, cool.
I mean, not only the whole country, but probably like almost the whole world is watching you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really cool now. I mean, like the last Olympics, now it's so cool because they stream everything.
Yeah.
So like when I competed, like I don't think my family got to see any of my throws because there wasn't online streaming. There wasn't right. any of that. Where now when the Olympics come around, like we literally sit outside and we are glued to our TV that's like on our porch the entire time. Like we'll watch anything. Like anything.
Yeah.
But to get to watch every throw in the hammer, every throw in the discus, like we're just like sucked in.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last question is for women who are hesitant to start down that path of weightlifting, what would you tell them?
Oh boy. I want this to be like good because I'm such a believer in it. I think some of it is explaining like the current research, right?
Ooh.
And how important it is and what it's showing. It's showing that as we get older, the people who are doing better longer are the ones who have been weightlifting versus those who were only doing cardio. Start with some of that. And then my whole thing is like, just try it. Like, let's just try it and find something about it that you like. That was my thing with my friend who just started. I'm like, just find something about it that you like that'll keep you going back. Maybe you only lift lower body for the first 6 months. That's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe you only lift upper body. That's all I've been doing. And it's totally fine too. Gosh. So I think, yeah, because it's hard to start. It really is. I think back to literally my first workout at Ashland University, my freshman year, I could barely squat 95 pounds. It about killed me in our first workout. And I could not walk right for close to a week. And luckily, I was an athlete on scholarship, so I had to keep going back. Yeah. I wasn't given a choice, right? So I went back and it completely changed who I am and how I live my life. And I would just hope that people could get a little bit of joy out of it. Just get a little taste of that. The feeling confident, the feeling strong, just the fun of it. And I think being able to walk into a weight room where it's typically a male-dominant, men-dominated area, and be confident and know, like, I have just as much reason to be on that bench as he does is a really important thing. So I think, yeah, I would just try to be encouraging and try to find something you like about it. Like, you have to, right? Like,
yeah.
You just have to. And it might take a little while, but just keep showing up.
Yeah.
Just keep showing up.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah. So fun. And I think we haven't had anyone who's has an autoimmune condition, but has also been to the Olympics. So
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I got like little spine tingles of that. Yeah.
Of course.
Thanks.
Yep.